A very good evening to everyone, especially to all those who are here for the first time. I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And on behalf of the church, we are very thankful to have all of you here to hear of hope, to hear the gospel. And so before we go further, let us look to the Lord in prayer to ask the Lord to help us to understand His word. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, our Lord and our God, we thank Thee for Thou art the sovereign God, the God of the whole universe. And Thou art a holy God, a God who cannot stand sin. And yet Thou art also a loving God, a God who has given us Thy only begotten Son, whereby we may be saved and whereby we may approach Thy presence. We ask that Thou would cleanse and wash us of all our sins. And we pray that as we consider the gospel, we pray especially for all those who have not yet believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Thy Spirit will work mightily in their hearts to convict them of the truth that is contained in Thy word. And in doing so, that they will turn to Thee in repentance, seeing their need for Thee. And so may You bless us in this time. May Thou be merciful to hear our cry. For we pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the topic for our consideration tonight is, do you have hope? Now, hope is essential to life. Without hope, one will not have any will to live. You can ask very easily someone who is terminally ill. If he no longer has the hope to live, well, we know that very soon after, he will pass on. And so hope is very important in our lives. And the people of this world will seek to find hope in many things. They hope to be successful. They hope to have peace and prosperity. They hope for their children to grow up, to be successful, to support them, to have a happy family, for everyone to be happy. And that is what many people today would hope for, especially when we see the unrest and the trouble in this world. But there are two problems with these kinds of hope. And what are the two problems? Well, firstly, the problem with these kinds of hope is that these hopes are not certain. These hopes are not necessarily hopeful, as much as they are wishful thinking. In fact, these hopes are really hopeless hopes. That is the first problem with such hopes. There's no guarantee that we will be successful. There's no guarantee that we will be healthy. There's no guarantee that our children will grow up to be successful. There's no guarantee that there will be peace in the home. And so that is the first problem with such hopes, that they are not certain. They are hopeless hopes. And the second problem with these kinds of hopes is that these hopes are but temporal. For argument's sake, even if, let's say, you do have such a hope to be successful, a hope for a peaceful life, and for argument's sake, even if these hopes are certain, these hopes can only be beneficial to you only in this life and not in the life to come. And so that is the second problem with such hopes. The people of this world, maybe you included, you may have such hopes in life, hopes to be successful. But these hopes are not certain. These hopes may only serve you well in this life, but not in the life to come. It will not give you any hope in the face of death. And so when we ask the question, do you have hope? Of course, we are not asking whether you have such hopes, right? These kinds of hopes that are uncertain and but temporal. We are asking whether you have a hope that is sure and certain and that is eternal. Do you have a hope that will be effective for you in this life and in the life to come? Do you have such a hope whereby you can hold on to this hope with absolute certainty even in the face of death? Do you have? That is the question that we want to answer. Because unless we have such a hope, we will not be able to live life in the way that God has purposed and God has designed. life, though fraught with troubles, can be joyful, can be hopeful. And the Bible tells us how we can derive at this hope. Now, our verse before us is taken from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And the book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul, and this book was written to believers. And he wrote this book to believers to explain to them what their salvation is and how they can have hope in this life. And when Paul describes this hope, well, we want to learn how we can have this same hope. And so in our verse before us, in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, here we see three things about hope. Now, if we are to talk about having hope, well, we must know first the source of hope. Wherein can we find hope? Wherein can we find such a certain hope that is also eternal? Well, the Bible tells us. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, the Bible here says, "Now the God of hope." And so what is the source of hope? The source of hope is none other than God Himself. God is the source and the originator of hope. And apart from God, there can be no certain hope. Apart from God, there can be no lasting, eternal hope. God is the only one that can give us hope. He is the only one that can give us a hope that is certain and a hope that is eternal. And so when the Bible here says, the God of hope, this is who God is. God is the source of this hope. Furthermore, when the Bible says that this is the God of hope, He is not only just the source of hope, He's not only someone who can give you hope, but He is our hope. He is the very hope that we have that is certain and eternal. He is the one who we must hope in. Because apart from Him, there is nothing certain in this world. Apart from Him, there is nothing eternal. God is our hope. But what exactly is this hope? Right, we can say that hope is eternal, hope must be certain, hope is in God. But what is this hope? Well, to put it very plainly, when a person has a hope that is certain and eternal, this hope is the presence of God on earth and after we leave this world. Right? That is the Christian's hope. A hope that God will be present with us in our lives on this earth and also in the life to come. And that is the hope that we are concerned with tonight. Do you have this hope? A hope that you know that God will be with you in your life and also in the life after death. Because for us, for mankind, why is it that we cannot enter into the presence of God? Man in history have sought to reach God. Right? That is what all the other religions of the world seek to do. They seek to do good works. They seek to earn their way to reach God. And yet, they can never be certain that they would attain. But why is it, have you ever wondered, an innate fact in man to know that he is separated from God? Well, because the Bible tells us that in the very beginning, when God created mankind, God created mankind good and perfect, sinless. But because of man's rebellion, because of man's disobedience, he rejected God, he disobeyed God, and thus was separated from the presence of God. And that is what happened to our first parents, Adam and Eve. When Adam sinned against God, he rebelled against God, well, God cast him out of the Garden of Eden, out of the presence of God. And because of sin, we today as well, we continue to sin against God. Not only was this true for Adam, but when Adam sinned against God, well, the Bible tells us that death entered into the world. And because we are children of Adam, we too also sin and rebel against God. We are separated from God. We worship other gods, which is a breaking of God's commandment. We lie. There is no man on this earth that can say that I have never lied. Well, that would be a lie. We steal. We cheat. We do all these wicked things that are breaking God's laws. And when we break God's laws, we are offending and sinning against God Himself. And knowing that God is almighty and all-powerful, well, we, on this earth, we would not dare to sin against those in power. We would not dare offend those in power. We would be very careful with how we tread in the presence of those in power. But now we are not just speaking about any power on earth. We are speaking about the greatest power, the Almighty God, that you and I have offended because of sin. We have broken God's laws. And because we have broken God's laws, we have rebelled against Him. The Bible tells us that God is a holy God. God is a just God. And just as a just judge, would punish the evildoer, God will not leave sin unpunished. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. The result, the payment, the consequence of us sinning against God is death. And not just earthly physical death, but the Bible describes a death that is eternal, a death that is an eternal torment and suffering in hell. Because we have sinned against an eternal God, our punishment must be eternal. But know also that when God punishes sinners and sends them to the eternal lake of fire, know that He does so not just because that is a judgment for sin. Yes, it is a judgment for sin. But for a sinner that rebels against God and has no desire to be in the presence of God on earth, God is simply granting this sinner His desire to be apart from God's presence eternally. God will not grab a sinner who does not want to be in the presence of God, kicking and screaming against his will, and drag him into heaven, into His presence for all eternity. God is simply giving to man what he so desires, a departure from God. And that is why, in this world, when we do not have God, we do not have hope. Because all of us are simply headed towards death. The rich man will die, the poor man will die. The healthy will die, the sick will die. All of us, death is no respecter of persons. And we will all one day have to face as what the Bible calls the last enemy, and that is death. And if we do not have God, hell is where we are headed to. But God, He had made it possible for us to be in His presence, both on earth and in heaven. And that is why the Bible tells us that God is not only a God of justice and of holiness, but God is also a God of love. God did not leave us to our own devices and where we will find ourselves eternally in hell, but the Lord, in history, sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. He came as a man, being truly and fully God, truly and fully man, but one difference: He has no sin. For us, all of us have transgressed and sinned against God. But for this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, He was sinless. He did not commit one sin. And when He lived a perfect life, the Bible tells us that finally He died on the cross because the men persecuted Him and crucified Him. And He died on our behalf. He took the penalty that we deserve for our sins upon Himself, upon His own body. and taking our penalty. There is no double jeopardy. And the same sin cannot be punished twice. And when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, He bore the penalty of our sins and so earned us a place in the presence of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ did not remain dead, but on the third day He rose again from the dead to prove to us, to prove to the world that He has gained victory over death, and as a result, He has gained victory over sin. And now He's ascended up into heaven, into the presence of His Father. And so this is the means by which God has opened the way for us to be in His presence. But how? How can we obtain such a hope? A hope to be in the presence of God. Well, the Bible goes on to tell us, when we come back to our verse, in verse 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." And so how can we obtain this hope? What is the means by which we obtain this hope? It is by believing. It is by believing that we will be filled with peace, joy, and hope, as the verse here says. And what does it mean to believe? Believe in what? Believe in whom? Well, the Bible tells us that we are called to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to believe in who He is, in what the Scriptures says He is. It is to believe in what He has done, what I have described to you just briefly before this. It is to believe in what the Bible says we are. And that sometimes is the most difficult part. Some may say that I believe that Jesus is a good man. I believe that Jesus was a good teacher. I believe that Jesus existed in history. And some may even believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead. But yet, they do not have this hope. Why? Because they fail to believe and they fail to see themselves for who or how God sees them. They fail to see themselves as grave sinners in need of this hope. They think that they can have hope in this world. They think that they can have hope in the things of this world. But they fail to see that they are grave sinners against a holy God headed towards eternal destruction. And so what is the way then? What does it then mean to believe? It is not just to mentally agree to who the Lord Jesus Christ is, but now to yield yourself to the truth of who Christ is and to repent, to turn from your evil ways. If you understand that this is who you are estranged from God, you are separated from God because of your rebellion against Him, and now you desire to be in His presence, you desire Him, then what you must do is to turn away from your sin, to turn away from this world, and turn to God, to repent, to seek His forgiveness. And if you now say that, I no longer want to be rebellious, I no longer want to be separated from God, then now you humble yourself before Him and seek Him. But the Lord promises that He will be found. He will save you. And you go to Him sincerely, repenting of your sins, understanding that you have sinned and offended a holy God, and claiming and receiving and accepting what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you by faith. Then He promises that He will most certainly save you. Now the Lord knows the genuineness of your heart. If you play the hypocrite and you say that you believe when in your heart you have no desire for the presence of the Lord, well, know that the Lord will not save you. Again, why would the Lord force you into His presence when in your heart you have no desire for Him? But now, if you say in your heart of hearts that, Lord, I see my sinfulness, I see my need for You, I know I cannot deal with my sin by myself, and I know that at my death I will have to face You in judgment. And Lord, I see nothing of myself to desire after Thee, but Lord, I desire to have such a desire. And Lord, I pray that Thou would give me such a desire, that Thou would forgive me of my sins and receive me unto Thyself. And if we pray such a prayer, sincerely desiring the presence of the Lord, the forgiveness of our sins, know that the Lord Jesus Christ, or the God the Father, will hear us, hear our prayer, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And when you truly believe, you will have this blessed hope. Now this life is no longer just about what you can do, what you can achieve. But this life will now be for Christ. This life will be lived in light of the hope that you have to be in His presence. This life will be lived according to the very reality that God is with you. And not only so, this hope will bring you into His very presence after you leave this world. So much so that you can face even death itself. You know, death is something very lonely. Now, recently, my uncle had just passed away, just a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things that he mentioned and he struggled with towards the end of his life is that he felt very alone. Even though, yes, family was there with him, but he felt very alone. And as I was thinking about what he mentioned, it is true. Many things in this life we can face with help, with people. Right? If we want to do something very difficult, like nowadays I think the trend is to go for marathons and ultra-marathons and triathlons, right? And Ironman. Right? You know, these are very difficult things to do. Right? But as difficult as they may be, you can always ask your friend, right? Come, go with me, right? We support one another, we help one another in these difficult things. But there is one thing in this life that you have to go alone, and that is death. No man can follow you. No man can accompany you to death. And so for my uncle, well, we had to remind him, we had to encourage him in his discouragement that, well, there is hope, because God is with him. He had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And the comfort of Psalm 23, that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That is the reality, that is the hope of every truly born-again believer. That even in the face of death, we are not alone. Are you ready to face death? Death is a reality. Don't think that I'm still young. Don't think that I still have many years ahead of me. Death won't come so soon. Well, know that death can come at any time, even at this very moment, where we see in the news, buildings can suddenly collapse. Viruses and pandemics can just happen. Accidents can happen. So many things can happen in this life. Are you ready to face death? Because you have to face it alone. But if you receive of this certain and eternal hope, it is certain because God never lies, and it's eternal because God is eternal, and if your hope is in God, His presence will be with you, not only in this life, but even through death and into the life to come. So much so that you can face death victorious. And so that is how we can have hope. We can have hope by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray sincerely with my heart that you, all of you, will come to have this hope. Because when you have this hope, you will live very differently. The Bible tells us three things that will change about your life. The Bible says here, now the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So the three things that will happen to a person who has this certain and eternal hope. First, that he will have peace. He will have peace because he knows that his sins are forgiven. He is now accepted before God. The sword of God's wrath is no longer hanging over him. But he has been forgiven. He has peace with God. And because he has peace with God, he has this inner peace in his heart. So much so that he is no longer anxious. Anxiety will leave because he knows that though there may be many things in this life that he is not in control of, but he knows that he has a God who is sovereign and in control of all things that happen in his life. And that brings peace. When you do not know what will happen the next moment, it brings anxiety, it brings fear, it brings trepidation. What will I do in the present that will affect the next moment, that will affect the rest of my life? What will come suddenly that I do not expect, that will turn the course of my life? Well, if we live without God, this is the anxious, anxiety-filled life that we will live. But a person who has hope in God, a person who has the presence of God with him, will live in peace, because he knows that he is right with his God. He knows that his God is a good God, and he is sovereign. He allows all things to happen according to his will for our good. And when you have this God for yourself, it brings much peace. And I pray that you will taste of this peace. Your life will not be lived out of control just because you do not have control over all things, but your life is entrusted into the control, the sovereign control of God. And that brings peace. And so that is the first thing that will change about your life. You will have peace. Secondly, you will have joy. The Bible says that God of hope, the God of hope, will fill you with all joy. And this joy is a joy knowing that you have a relationship with God. It's a joy knowing that God is present with you. And this joy is a joy that is regardless of any circumstance that may happen in your life. It is a joy that can happen though you may be facing suffering. It is a joy that can happen though you may be facing weal. In weal or in woe, the believer who has hope in God will have this joy. Why? Because his greatest trouble, the trouble of death itself, has been solved. It has been resolved in the Lord. And so if God has helped the Christian in his greatest trouble, and that is death and sin, is there anything else in this life that God is powerless to help? No. And if the believer understands that sin and death is the greatest problem, the greatest trouble in life, and all these other troubles in life pale in comparison to what I have to face in death, and yet God has resolved that greatest problem, that is death, well, we can have great joy. The Lord is the one who gives us this joy. Because even in the midst of our trials and our sufferings, he is with us. And that is all we need. And so that is the second result. It is a joy unspeakable. A joy that is present regardless of circumstance. No longer depressed. No longer moody. No longer facing the difficulties of this world by yourself. But now knowing that you have God with you to help you, to guide you. And that brings joy. Thirdly, not only will you have all joy and peace in believing, but having this joy and peace in believing, having this hope in God, you will abound in hope. And so this is very interesting, isn't it? Because we have spoken of the God of hope, the God that gives hope, the one whom we hope in. And having this hope, we will have peace and joy. And yet, having this hope, we will have even more hope. We will abound in our hope. We will have a greater hope. Our hope will be strengthened. Our hope in the Lord will be made more certain. And why is this the case? Well, because the Bible tells us that it is through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost is God. And God, His Spirit, when a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, His Spirit now indwells us. His Spirit now is with us. The Holy Ghost indwells every true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit, that is God, indwells the heart of every believer, know that this is the certainty that God's presence and God's power is with you. Because power not to be used inconsistent with the character of God, right? But power to be used to grant you the peace, the joy, and the hope that you need to live in this life. Because you know that God is with you. And that is the blessed certainty, the blessed hope that every truly born-again believer has. That even though he may be alone in this life, yet he is never alone because God is with him. And one with God is majority. And so, do you have this hope? Because this hope, whether you have it or not, will be evidenced by the peace, the joy, and the greater hope that you will have as you live your life on this earth. But if you do not have peace, if you do not have joy, and if you do not have hope, know that you need the Lord. You need this hope that is certain, not a hopeless hope, but a hope that is most sure and certain because God never lies. And you need this hope that is eternal that will tide you through, not only in this life, but also in the life to come. And that is my daily hope. That even if I were to leave this world and I would no longer be able to care for my family, I have the hope that the Lord will take care of my family. And this is my hope also, that even if I were to face with adverse circumstances, that I can have peace and joy because the Lord will take care of me. Because I have a heavenly Father. And as a father pities his children, cares for his children, he will also care for me. I do not have to live life in this world alone. But I have my God with me. I can always go to him in prayer, both in times of need and in times of joy. And I can trust that he will always help because he has promised me in his word. And this is the hope that every believer must have. Will you have this same hope? Do you desire to have this same hope? All you need to do is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't hold on to the things of this world anymore. Why would you hold on to these lesser things and lose your soul eternally? It's very much like, you know, my daughter now is 7 months old. And when she eats her baby biscuit, right, she will hold it in her hand, and then she will eat and eat and eat until she cannot see it anymore. Right? The rest of the biscuit is in her hand. And she still wants to eat. But in order for her to eat, she has to let go. But it's very hard to teach her to let go, so she will be a bit frustrated. Right? Why is it? I want to eat, but then I cannot let go of it. Right? I want it. Right? But she has to let go in order for her to eat of it, to taste of it. That is, you can say, a very poor illustration, but illustration nonetheless of how so often we hold on to the things of this life. We think that we can have it. We think that we can gain. We think that we can have hope in the riches, in the successes, even in the peace that we have in this life. But what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do is to surrender it, to go to him, to let go of it, and to now taste of how he and his presence will give you this lasting, eternal hope. This hope is for you to have. And so we come back to our question this evening. Do you have hope? Well, know that you can have hope. That hope is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I pray that all of you gathered here, well, you have gathered here not by chance, but by the divine appointment of God. I pray that his Spirit will move your heart, and that you will see this hope, and that you will take hold of this hope that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and find in him your hope. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee so much that indeed we can have hope. For without thee, and without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are a people most miserable, left on this world to live life only to die. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have an eternal, certain, lasting hope. To know that thou art with us as we journey through life's trials and difficulties. That thou art watching over us and caring for us. And at the same time also, that we can have the hope and certainty that when we pass from this earth, we will be in thy very presence in heaven, no longer needing to suffer the penalty of our sins, for the Lord Jesus Christ has borne that penalty. And so, Father, we pray that thou will be very merciful to any here who have not yet believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who are still wandering in this world, hopeless, aimless, that thou will work in such a heart to convict them of their sins, to turn them to thee for salvation. May today truly be a day of salvation for thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.